Hey everybody, it's Meg. I just wanted to thank you so much for coming to tune in to our season 2 finale. We already have plans for a series 3, so sit tight. And in the meantime, friend of the show, Max Kreisky, who has written some truly banger episodes for Kingmaker, is crowdfunding for his own show, True Tales of the Illuminati. We are big fans of True Tales. We have been fans since the Les Is Morgue days. There are 2 seasons out at the moment, and they are crowdfunding for a third. So if you want to give your support to an absolutely hilarious historical comedy that will surely keep you entertained in the Kingmaker off-season, go to truetalesteam.com/crowdfund. And with that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
As with most men who seek power through nefarious means, Klaus Holtzmann had surrounded himself with a tight-knit inner circle made up of people who were not necessarily the best at what they did, but who, to Holtzmann, seemed the least likely to betray him. There were 4 people at the core of his plot for a military takeover, and were privy to plans that Holtzmann didn't even share with his assistant, Mandel. There was Margot Engels, an adept mentalist who had been given the job of secretary to President Rothbart on Holtzmann's recommendation. Then there was Lucas Lando, a master of atmospheric magic and close military comrade of Holtzmann's late father. There was also Holtzmann's spiritual advisor, Gabriel Rettig, a powerful healer and member of the clergy, the final member of the group, and the only one with no training in magic whatsoever, was a man by the name of Ferdinand Krüger.
Commander Holtzmann, sir. Ferdinand Krüger.
Where?
Permission to speak freely, sir.
Permission granted.
I just wanted to compliment the spatial compression sigil you engraved into my rifle magazine. It's so much lighter now. I can put it together in under a minute.
That's a promising improvement on your previous record, Krüger.
Thank you, sir. And if I may be frank, I don't know much about artifice, but the sigil design itself is very elegant.
Thank you, Krüger. You're dismissed.
Of course, sir.
May I speak freely, Commander?
Of course you can, Mandel.
Krüger's unbearable. Whenever he comes in here, I feel like he's trying to steal my job.
No need to worry about that. He's brilliant with a rifle, but not much else. If I thought he could fill your position, I would have already given it to him.
Good to know I have some job security, sir. Commander Holtzmann's office? Yes, it's a secure line. All right, I'll put him on. Sir, the switchboard has a call for you from Switzerland. Are you expecting anything?
No, not today. Let me speak to them. Holtzmann speaking. State your business.
Ah, Commander. Just the man I wanted to talk to. I have expected to just be passed back to the operator again. Listen, international calls aren't cheap, so I'll make this brief. Those anarchists you're looking for, Eyer and Winterlich, they're at the Swiss border.
With all due respect, I get a dozen tips like this every day with no evidence to back them up. Why should I believe you?
Because you want the Kingmaker, don't you?
Let me just get a pen. I'm listening.
They'll be on the road heading north between Huttwil and Stein am Rhein. You'd better hurry. That van of theirs travels fast.
What was the tip about?
The Germans are practicing maneuvers in Switzerland and they're getting a little too close to the border. Mildly concerning, but nothing we need to act on just yet.
Same shit as ever, eh, Commander?
Quite. So, how is Mrs. Mandel these days?
She's in Frankfurt, last I checked. I got a telegram yesterday. She's staying there until the station opens up again.
That won't be long, I assure you. And her family.
Not great, from what I've heard. But she still didn't want to stick around too long after the funeral.
That's disheartening to hear. You have my deepest sympathies, Mandel. Take the rest of the afternoon. I'll see you bright and early tomorrow.
Of course, sir. Thanks.
Officer's quarters, please. Put General Lando on. Thank you. Lucas, I've got a problem that requires an off-the-record solution. You remember Aya from the Engineers Division? Yes, I thought so too. Well, just wait until you hear what he's been up to.
Meanwhile, my research indicates that Aya was with his two traveling companions, who had taken a brief stop in the town of Stein am Rhein to restock their food stores and enjoy a cheap but decent Swiss hot chocolate. Though they were unaware that Moretz had already betrayed them, Eisen and Telesfor's former employer was still their main topic of conversation.
Oh, God, why did I do that? Tell me, why did I see that to him?
Oh. Darling, you've been asking the same question for hours now. Just let it go. Relax. Drink your hot chocolate, hmm? Tastes decent, but I think it still needs a little something.
You keep powdered cinnamon in your coat pocket.
Of course I do, Colette. Have you met me?
Honestly, I'm gonna stick this table up my arse.
Eisen, stop it. People are staring.
Ah, let them stare. Look, it's just dawning on me that making an enemy of Max and Moretz might not have been the best decision I've ever made.
Oh, yeah, of course. The moment you do something nice for me, you're racked with regret over it.
That's not regret. I know I made the right call, but right or not, we now have a target on our backs. Like, multiple targets, in fact. And being in Moretz's crew could have offered us at least some kind of protection against the military. But now we've pissed them all off.
You know, nothing's stopping us from just staying here for a while. Take our own little Swiss holiday until the heat dies down. Like we said we would do before this whole mess with Holtzman.
The mountain air is refreshing. And I do like cheese.
Why, I suppose, and I guess there's no better place to be if a war breaks out, eh?
My thoughts exactly.
The impending threat of war was exactly why Holtzman hadn't told Mandel about his plan, and why he didn't make the trip to Switzerland himself. The presence of any VSR troops in the area would have undoubtedly triggered an international incident, an outcome not conducive to Holtzman's goal of obtaining the Kingmaker. To that end, he had assigned two of his most trusted inner circle, Lucas Lando and Ferdinand Kruger.
Ferdinand Kruger, sir, reporting for duty. It's an honor and a privilege to be here, sir.
Don't get stuck up there while you're kissing his ass, kid.
Kruger was his parents' only son, having lost his four siblings to cholera in infancy. As such, he had grown up under great pressure to continue the family's good name, and in particular, his father's academic legacy. In an attempt to conform to these expectations, a young Ferdinand would pursue the same field as his father had, the study of mathematics. The boy was sent abroad to attend a prestigious boarding school in Bonn, Germany, and displayed exceptional aptitude, graduating early at the top of his class at the age of 16. This, unfortunately, did little to impress his father, who had graduated at 14.
Thank you, gentlemen. If we could all pay attention now. At 1400 hours today, I received a phone call from an anonymous source placing the fugitive smugglers Aya and Winterlich somewhere near the Swiss border. I believe this tip to be legitimate, and I believe they are in possession of the Kingmaker. Whether it's still attached to its host or not is currently uncertain. Gentlemen, I am entrusting you with its retrieval.
All right, a little off-the-book Swiss holiday.
Obviously, we can't risk detection. If word broke out of the SR troops entering the region, it would complicate matters. So, you'll be traveling out of Crystal City by freight train. I'll keep tabs on you from here. Give me a small personal item that I can cast a replicator charm on.
Yes, sir.
If you say so.
Kruger handed over a pendant made of an empty bullet casing, a keepsake commemorating his first successful mission. Not being a person with the capacity for sentimental value, Lando gave Holtzman an ordinary pocket watch.
Thank you. It's too far to maintain visual contact, of course, but I'll be able to track your location on the map. Keep the charmed objects on your person at all times. Wear civilian clothes. Do not bring weapons.
Sir, permission to ask a question.
Granted, Kruger.
I will of course defer to your judgment on this matter, but I do think that, given the quality of the gun you've customized for me, it would be smart to...
I've already organized with my contacts on the other side of the border to supply you with a functionally identical rifle once you reach the location.
Of course, sir. Excellent foresight.
You'd better let me bring my gauntlets or I walk.
Since those aren't exactly a military issue, I suppose there's nothing I can do to stop you. But I'm warning you, Lander. Take this seriously. That means discretion. As few civilian casualties as you can manage. Are we clear?
Crystal.
Good. Enjoy your holiday, gentlemen.
While Holtzman held his secret debriefing, Aya, Winterlich and co. had chosen to spend the night in Stein am Rhein, oblivious to the danger they would soon be finding themselves in. The next morning, the trio conferred over breakfast and coffee, discussing where would be the best place to hide.
You know what's crazy? Before this year, I'd never been outside of the VSR. And now I've been to Germany, I've been to Austria, I've been to France. I've been here!
We know, we were there.
Seems like you're enjoying a life of traveling.
Well, it's kind of hard to tell since I've spent most of the trips either in this van or running from the cops. I think I'll like living in Switzerland. I'll finally get a chance to absorb some local culture.
I mean, it's not that different to the culture back home. Aside from the political system, of course, and the wildlife. Oh, and the fact that there are no magic colleges. And the plants don't glow in the dark.
What are the similarities?
Shut up, you know what I mean. It's still the Rhineland, it's all sauerkraut and cheese and polka music.
So, should we stay here, or should we keep heading south?
Actually, that's not a half bad idea. Telsey, how far is it to Zurich from here?
It's about an hour south. Weather permitting, anyway. And I think our friend Maria still works at the Grand Botanical. I'm sure she'll be able to help us find work while we're in town.
If we set off now, maybe we can outrun the storm.
Something tells me that might not be possible.
Why not?
Take a look for yourself.
As Telesphore made his way to the cab to start the engine, he found that the entire street had suddenly been enveloped in a thick fog.
Bloody hell.
Is this normal Swiss weather?
Not that I've ever seen.
It's come in awfully quickly.
It must be the cold air coming in from the lake or something.
Weird.
Why are you staring at me like that?
Tell us to get back in the van.
Your hair's standing up.
What are you... Ah, I see.
Holy hell!
Oh, crikey, that was close. You all right?
Whew. Yes, I'm fine.
Hold on. I thought lightning never strikes the same place twice.
It doesn't.
You don't suppose it could be...
Lando? Nah, no danger. He's probably in Morocco committing war crimes right now.
Sorry, who are we talking about?
Aya, you old dog. Let me in. I just want to talk.
Lando, it's been a while. Telsey, put it in reverse and run that prick over.
Oh, is that any way to greet your old army, buddy?
Given that you started this conversation by trying to electrocute us, I think so.
Aizen Aya and Lucas Lando first met in 1885, in the early days of the Valorian Revolutionary War. They fought alongside each other in the Battle of Rossenwasser, a battle which had record civilian casualties due to a stray lightning strike hitting the local tavern. This was a common thread in most of the battles Lando fought in. His speciality was altering the density and temperature of air particles to create storms, and he often went by the nickname Tod durch Blitz, or Death by Lightning. This name was first given to him by the pro-monarchy editor of the Crystal City Crier, and though it was intended to paint him in a negative light, he liked it so much that he started using it himself. Other than his profound lust for destruction, his most recognizable features were his habit of smoking two cigars at once and the lightning-conducting copper gauntlets he seemingly never left home without.
No, I didn't mean anything by it. God, you're just as touchy as ever. It's just business, kid. Commander Holtzman sends his best wishes. Now, either you come out here, or let me in.
Aye, right. You're not breaking that lock anytime soon, pal.
Oh, you wanna bet?
Anyway, you were saying?
Sorry about the mug. I panicked.
Oh, well, that's better than nothing, hein? Chelsea fucking floored it.
In his many years' worth of driving experience, Telus IV had learned to manage a vehicle under less than opportune conditions. These included, but were not limited to, driving at night without working headlights, driving while being pursued by the Crystal City Police, or more recently, an enraged Ariadne Culver, and driving with an irritable mantelope on the roof. It was entirely thanks to his skills behind the wheel that the Aya and Winterlich van was able to escape the range of Lucas's storm summoning completely intact. Almost completely intact.
Chelsea, easy, easy! Ah, shit, careful! You'll ruin her suspension!
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to try driving?
Ah, there we go. He'll no be able to follow us on foot now.
You don't think he walked here from Crystal City, do you?
Obviously not. But as long as we lose him before he gets a chance to get to his vehicle, I don't care how he got here. He could have fucking bunny hopped for all I care.
Well, the fog's cleared. I think we're out of the spell's range now. I'll take us through this forest up ahead. If we make it out the other side, we'll hopefully manage to shake him.
But that's taking us north again.
Exactly. He's not expecting us to head towards home. Then once we've lost him, we can take a detour into Germany.
I like that idea.
It was a very good plan. Unfortunately, it did not account for the one automotive obstacle that not even Telus IV could adjust for. The 50mm rounds from a customized Lebel 1886 sniper rifle.
Okay, accounting for wind resistance and the van's velocity, distance of approximately 500 meters, carry the 3, plus 5.
Oh, everyone alive?
I think so. Please tell me that was just a really big pothole.
No, unfortunately not. Either Lando was somehow able to get ahead of us, or he's got friends traveling with him.
Unless this is unrelated.
Ison's right, we do have a lot of enemies. What do we do now?
I don't know. I can't see where the shot came from, so we can't risk making a run for it.
Well, we can't stay here. We're sitting ducks with the lock on the door broken, and Lando won't stay in Stein on Ren forever. He could catch up with us at any moment.
Unless we let him catch up with us.
Are you insane?
If he brings the fog with him, no. In the meantime, Telus IV, you've got better eyes than either of us, and you're a better shot. Get outside and see if you can figure out where the marksman is.
I don't fancy being shot today, thank you very much.
Whoever's shooting us took out the tires when they could have just shot you in the driver's seat. They obviously want to slow us down, not kill us.
All right, if I must.
Look, if something happens, I'll stitch you up. I've hand-stitched leather before. It's basically the same thing, right?
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Telus IV armed himself and took a defensive position behind the front of the van. He did so with great care, knowing that any moment he could be shot at again by the mysterious gunman hidden somewhere in the tree line.
Finally, one of you comes out to say hello. No, just stick your head out from behind that van. Any second, though. Oh, come on!
Good lord!
Telsy, do you see him?
Not yet! I need to get closer, but he's watching us like a hawk. The moment he takes his eyes off me, I can get out of his line of sight. You two hold down the fort here.
Don't worry. We're not planning on going anywhere. Actually, what are we planning to do?
Look, any minute now, Lando's gonna be catching up with us. And when he does, that storm is gonna be coming with him.
And if we can't see through the fog, the guy with the rifle can't see us. Unless they really are working together.
No, even if they are, he'll do the trick with the fog to flush us out. And believe me, I know Lando. He's no a team player. Tell, keep the marksman distracted.
Vic plays here.
Ducking behind the van, Telesphore was able to move away from his defensive position undetected, leaving the sights of Kruger's long-range rifle just long enough to allow him to teleport into the thicket of trees.
Colette, get through the multi-door and hide. You won't know to look for you there.
What about you?
Zed, you can't hide in your van forever.
You can't just expect me to let you walk out and get killed by this maniac.
Trust me, you don't want to tangle with this dopey bastard. I'll take care of him. I'm coming out.
Did you forget there's also a gunman bearing down on us?
Didn't you worry, Hen. We've got cover.
As Eisen had predicted, Lucas Lando's preferred intimidation tactic had managed to obscure Kruger's visibility, blocking his line of sight with a thick, impenetrable layer of fog.
Damn it, Lando! Can't see a thing through all this!
Telesphore's visibility was also greatly diminished by the rolling cloud cover, which had the unfortunate side effect of also diminishing his maneuverability.
All right, I suppose this is as close as I can get without walking. Now, where are you?
Naturally, having a visual on his target would have been preferable, but Telesphore could make do without it, to a certain extent. After spending years smuggling contraband goods alongside Eisen, Telesphore's heightened sense of smell could detect even the most minuscule differences between different products, even gunpowder.
Smells like graphite, glycerin, notes of acidity, coming from there.
How the hell did he make that shot?
Educated guess!
Scheiße! Shit! His voice is coming from this direction. And adjusting for distortion.
Oh, you are quite the nuisance.
30 degrees right. There you are. Oh.
Telesphore tried to duck behind the nearest tree, but not before Kruger's bullet grazed his left arm. While the two gunmen became locked in a stalemate, Eisen was engaged in an impromptu parley with Lucas Lando.
I didn't think you were still in the army, Blitz.
Yeah, it probably pays better than whatever you're doing. What did you do to piss Holzman off anyway?
That's none of your business.
Come on, you can tell me. We're old friends. Hey, remember back in Vernagus when we electrocuted the river to stop those soldiers from escaping across it?
Of course I remember. I remember that you did it, and if I'm remembering correctly, they were on our side.
Yeah, good times, good times. Listen, Eisen, Holzman's orders are to go after the girl, not you. Now, I figure she's either in your van there, or you've left her someplace safe. Am I warm? Tell me I'm warm. Now, say I was to find out where she is over the course of this conversation. Then I could just leave and bring her back to Holzman nice and simple. Nice and simple. For old time's sake, hand her over. And I'll let you walk. Or limp, in your case, I guess.
I didn't care what you're talking about. It's just me and Telesphore. Do you see a third name on the side of the van?
Don't try and play dumb. I know Geis is alive, and she's with you. I saw her. She beamed me with a coffee mug about 10 minutes ago.
I said I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my god. Last chance, Eisen. You sure that's how you want to play this?
Oh, aye. I'm sure.
Oh, you haven't changed one bit, Ayer.
Oh, you wee prick. Ah, I don't need to touch you to beat the shite out of you. Come here, you...
Still using Ledge Domain to solve all your problems, eh, boy? Maybe if you stayed in the army, you'd have learned some new material.
Oh, you've still got a bad habit of talking too much, don't you? Huh? Ah, oh, bollocks, where's he gone?
Not there.
Come out, wherever you are, you wee...
Swing and a miss. Come on, Eisen. You could at least try.
How the hell are you moving so fast?
I'm not moving. I'm right here.
One of Lando's more infamous combat tactics was to manipulate the air particles displaced by his own movements, making it functionally impossible to track him in low visibility.
Hey, Ayer, I've got a question for you. If an artificer falls on a Swiss service road and nobody's around to hear it, does he still make a sound? Looks like he does!
Meanwhile, Colette was rifling through boxes in the van's storage, looking for anything that she could use as a weapon to defend herself.
Oh, Colette, I've got a system. Idiot. I can't find my axe anywhere. I take my eyes off it for 1 minute, and he decides to put it in a safe place. It's gotta be in here somewhere. Would it kill him to use labels? Oh, hello. Sports equipment. That will do.
Colette did not bother wondering why Eisen and Telesphore had ever been asked to transport a cricket bat to the VSR, a country that has never had a national cricket team. She was merely thankful to have a suitable bludgeoning tool.
Oh, will you just stop making it so easy for me?
Aye, well, if you're a big man, just finish me off then if you're so bored.
Hey!
There you are. You know, if I'd known I was going to be hitting a woman today, I would have worn nicer gauntlets.
It was at this moment that Lando threw a lightning bolt in Colette's direction. However, what nobody could have anticipated was the sudden eruption of the bright blue light of the Kingmaker Diamond. Once the dust settled, he had been sent hurtling several feet backwards, colliding with his motorcycle. This caused the fog to dissipate slightly, allowing both Colette and Eisen to see each other's shocked and confused expressions.
Oh my god! Oh! Oh, Colette, are you all right?
I think so.
Oh, I wish I could say the same. Oh, what the hell was that?
I don't know. I've never been hit by lightning before.
Oh, come on, let's get out of here before he comes to his senses. Here, but first, take off everything you're wearing that's metal.
Even my glasses? And your walking stick?
Aye, and your hairpins. And I'll have to leave behind my goggles and my belt.
What about the leg brace?
Ah, shite. I guess I'm gonna have to take that off, too.
How are we gonna get away from him if the van has two flat tires and you can't run?
Aha! I'm always one step ahead. We don't run, we take his motorcycle.
Neither of them had ever learned how to ride a motorcycle before, but as an artificer, Eisen didn't find this much of a barrier.
Here, hop on the back. Right, what have we got here? Accelerator. Brake. All right, baby, let's get acquainted with each other, shall we? There's a barn over there. We can use that for cover.
What about Telesphore?
Ach, what about him? He's grand. He can hold his own.
That's more like it.
With the fog lifted, Telesphore finally found himself able to move around. This theoretically should have given him the upper hand. However...
Titania's left tit!
Firecrackers are in square 4B.
When on earth did you have the time to do all of this?
I was here before the sun came up. I've mapped a grid of this section of the forest and planted traps at a number of strategic locations.
I'd almost admire your effort. If it wasn't being put towards killing me...
Thank you. That was close.
Damn it! All right, while he's not looking...
Bottle time. Square 2A.
Ah, damn it! And now my jacket has two holes in it. Good thing I was already wearing purple today.
You're not looking so good. I reckon one more shot and we'll be done here. Reload break. He said this gun would be similar, but clearly it doesn't have as much space in the magazine. No, Ferdinand, he's your superior. He knows better than you.
Finally, I can get behind him.
Telesphore looked out from behind the tree he was using as cover and saw Kruger stopping to reload his gun. This was the exact opportunity he needed to get close enough to take his assailant by surprise.
Oh, that had better not be what it sounded like.
This action would prove to be a gross miscalculation on Telesphore's part.
Don't move.
Wasn't planning on it. And I can't really, not while you're looking at me.
A well-prepared soldier always watches his six. I'd say landmines make good defensive measures.
That's assuming I won't just take my foot off this mine right now and blow us both up.
You won't. You've put too much effort into self-preservation to do something rash like that. Now, why don't you carefully drop your gun?
You'll blink eventually. You all do.
I'm a trained sniper. I can do one eye at a time if I have to.
Meanwhile, Aizen and Colette were speeding down the road on a stolen motorcycle, making their way to the closest cover they could find, a dairy farm in a nearby field. They were almost able to make it the full way before Lando, in a manner of speaking, slowed them down.
Up with us so quickly.
He didn't he? It was a long range spell. And that's the annoying thing about these air mages. They've got the whole damn atmosphere to work with, the spooky pricks.
How far are we from the barn?
Not that far.
Good. You be my eyes, I'll be your legs, and we'll make it the rest of the way together.
Aye, if either of us can stand up in the first place, that is.
We landed on grass, so we should be alright.
Oh, here, Colette, give us a hand. Oh.
You okay?
Oh. I've been better.
All right, lean on me. I can sort of still see the barn. It's over there, right?
Aye, to your left.
Okay, either that was the fog coming back, or I've had a head injury and I'm going blind.
Aye, you're right, Hen, it's the fog. Wait. Here, maybe you can use the Kingmaker to clear the way.
I'm not sure. It's felt temperamental ever since Lucas zapped me.
That's worth a shot, though, eh?
It's working!
Ah, yes, perfecto. Now let's pick up the pace. Well, to the best of your ability, anyway. Say, Colette, are you nearsighted or farsighted?
I don't know. I never remember which is which. All I know is I get headaches when I don't wear my glasses.
Oh, right, I think that's probably all the walking I need to do for the next 6 years. Bloody hell.
This must be a dairy farm. Look at all this equipment. All this metal equipment. Oh God, we're totally gonna die in here.
Ah, no one's going to die. Not while there's a roof between us and Lando's lightning bolts. He'll only have the one chance to hit us, since he needs to be outside to charge the gauntlets.
The gauntlets, they're copper. They're copper, right? Can't you just break them somehow?
No, they won't break, even if I try.
How do you know?
Because I'm the one who built them, and I built them to last. Anyway, so Claire, what's the plan?
The plan? How should I know? You're the one who has a history with this lunatic.
Exactly. I know plenty of Lando's old moves, but that cuts both ways. He also knows all of mine. Plus, he's really expanded his repertoire since I last saw him. But he doesn't know you. You're unpredictable.
Okay. Okay. Well, the first step will probably be to try and hit him with the Kingmaker. I don't know how effective it'll be, and I'll probably get sick after, but that's better than nothing.
And if it doesn't kill him?
We play it where it lands.
I see a sledgehammer over in the back there. Let's split up, see if you can get the jump on him again.
I have a better idea. I think that big vat is where they store the milk before they bottle it.
Now is not the time for a drink, Colette.
No, no, hear me out. Milk is mostly water, right?
Aye, and sodium and calcium. Colette, you're a fucking genius.
Did you miss me?
Blast him, now!
I'll not this again. Of course you went running for cover like the rat you are. But I'll give you one thing. You're not boring me anymore. Taking the bike was a nice touch. Now, should I destroy this barn with a tornado? Or should I make it a little more personal?
In the interests of not leaving you in too much suspense, dear listener, I feel the need to let you know that at precisely the same moment, Tellus IV was still trapped with his foot on the pressure plate of a landmine, staring down the less favourable end of Kruger's rifle.
Well?
Well, what?
You've got me squarely in your sights. Why not just shoot me and be over with it?
We'll get to that. But for now, I'm more interested in what actionable intelligence you can give me while you're still alive.
I'm afraid I don't have much intelligence to offer you. I just drive the van.
So your partner would know where the Kingmaker is?
No more than I would.
Is the girl it was attached to still alive?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What did you do with it then?
Like I said, I'm really not the person to ask.
I don't think that's true. You're a bit of an enigma, Winterlich. Holzman likes to keep thorough tabs on all his enemies, as you can imagine. Aya is ex-military and ex-government, so information on him isn't hard to come by. Ariadne Culver was pretty easy to track too, given the trail of blood she leaves wherever she goes. We were even able to dig up all of Colette Guise's medical records when we asked the right people. But you? Other than the fact that you used to work in the castle, nobody knows anything about you.
That's because there's nothing to know. I came to Valor in 1860, and I had the same job from then until my employers were assassinated, and now I do this. I cook the food, I keep the books, I drive the van. Is that satisfactory?
How the hell are you such a good shot, then?
I practice.
Fine. If that's the best I'll get out of you, you're no longer worth anything to me.
Well, fair enough. Can you afford me one last smoke before you execute me? As a gentleman's courtesy.
That seems fair.
Thank you.
Is it cinnamon?
You blinked.
Your girlfriend seems nice. Feisty. You know, it's funny. I always figured that you were an invert. Color me surprised.
You could have just burned the place down from the outside, but I knew you wouldn't be able to leave well enough alone. You had to come in here, because you've never once missed a chance to kick someone while they're down, eh? And that's where you went wrong, you ballbag. Open the valve now!
Got it!
A flood of milk. That's your big counterattack. Is this the next step of your plan? Turning me into cheese or something? I gotta say, I am disappointed.
Milk's a conductor. If you throw that last lightning bolt, you'll kill yourself too.
Oh, and now that you can't do that, I get to do this.
I don't need to use magic to kill you, boy. You should know that by now.
There's gotta be something in here that doesn't conduct. Ison!
I'm a little busy at the moment, Colette.
Glass bottles!
Glass bottles!
Glass bottles!
Aye, that could work! Start breaking them then!
It is, of course, impossible to say exactly what happened next. As with all historical events, one can only speculate based on evidence. But given the level of destruction left behind, I feel that I can reasonably speculate the following. First, Lucas Lando prepared to deliver his final coup de grace.
Alright, big man, let's not get hasty here.
Second, while Lando was focused on Ison, Colette was able to smash approximately 20 medium-sized empty milk bottles with a sledgehammer. Third, Ison was able to summon the last of his strength and channel it into a spell.
What was that? Casting some magic? Gonna throw another milk jug at me?
Not exactly. But you do know that metal isn't my only speciality, right?
What?
Fourth, and finally, a volley of broken glass shards simultaneously severed Lando's brachial, radial, and femoral arteries.
Bastard.
Jesus Christ, Ison!
What? We're alive, aren't we? Let's get back to the van. I don't want to look at him anymore. Mind the broken glass.
Oh, thank goodness you're all right.
That's a relative term.
Oh, my word. Oh. 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 I found your walking stick, leg brace, and glasses sitting abandoned by the van and thought you would probably need them.
Ison was unable to salvage the motorcycle in his state of physical exhaustion, and Telesphore was unable to carry either Ison or Colette, thanks to the bullet in his arm. So the walk back to the van was, by all accounts, painful and incredibly tedious. Once they had returned, Colette made good on her promise to stitch up Telesphore's wounds.
Oh, no, not with that needle, you're not.
Why? What's wrong with it? I just cleaned it and everything.
Oh, that's steel. It'll make the wound worse.
Wait, really?
Aye, it's a good neighbor thing.
Why do you think I shave with a straight razor made of volcanic night glass?
Well, I didn't know that. I don't watch you shave and take notes. Fine. I think I've got one made of whalebone in here somewhere. It's bigger, though, so it'll hurt more.
Hurrah.
Once Telesphore was patched up, he set to work replacing the van's two blown-out tires, with Ison providing as much help as he could. The trio then drove back into Stein am Rhein, their vehicle sporting a broken back door and multiple bullet holes, and immediately sought urgent medical attention. And speaking of urgent medical attention, Ferdinand Krüger would later be picked up by a small team of Valorian army medics sent to retrieve what was left of him and Lando. The few who weren't incapacitated by Kruger's grid of booby traps were able to transport him back to Crystal City, where he could be treated in the medical wing of Circle 3.
Well, that was a rather poor display, Krüger.
Sir, I can explain.
I didn't give you permission to speak. You mentioned in your after-action report that you had Winterlich in your sights, and yet you somehow managed not only to avoid killing him, but to also get caught in the blast of your own landmine. And as if such a display of spectacular incompetence wasn't enough, you also failed to recover the Kingmaker. Now tell me, Mr. Krüger, if you were in my position as commanding officer, what do you think would be the acceptable reaction to such a blatant and monumental debacle?
There aren't enough punishments to atone for my mistakes, sir.
You wipe that self-pitying sulk off your face this instant and listen to me, Krüger. I will have you disavowed and facing a firing squad before your bones have had a chance to reset, unless you can give me something useful. What I need now is intel. We already know everything about Colette Geese's personal history and Eisenhower's military service record. We even have enough on Ariadne Culver to replicate some of her spells in the lab. So, while you were making the tactical error not to shoot him, did you learn anything at all about Talus IV Winterlich?
I can tell you one thing about him, sir. He's no cook.
The Kingmaker Histories is a production of We Are Not Alive. This episode was written by Charlie Green and audio engineered by Meg Malloy-Tutin, with Foley designed by Jam Wright and executive production by Henry Galley. Our music comes courtesy of Vivek Abhishek and Silvermane, and our theme was written and performed by Professor Shy Guy. This episode featured, in order of appearance, David Ault as the historian, Max Adrian Burton as Krüger, Bradley Gareth as Holtzman, Newton Shuttlecotty as Mandel, Graham Rowett as Moretz, Takai Nazir as Eisen, Josh Rubino as Talus IV, Blythe Renee as Colette, and Lucas Martinez as Lando. If you'd like to support the show, visit the links in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon.